Everyone wants to come and grab a seat again. We're now going to have a bit more of a look at Daniel chapter 6. So it's page 668 in your Bible if you've closed it. So do open it up because we're going to be referring back to that throughout. So Pete's been taking us through, hasn't he, the chapters 1 to 5 of Daniel over the past few. And so we're in Daniel chapter 6 today. Now there's been some really big themes that we've kind of seen running through Daniel to this point. There's that kind of big central idea that God is sovereign, that he's in charge, that he reigns over all the kingdoms of the world. He's in charge of it all. God's in control, so he puts in place the kings, the governors, you know, the rulers, the prime ministers, the politicians. He puts in place the people that he chooses. So no one rules without God's say-so. That's one of the kind of themes we've seen. And because of that, I guess we need to know our place, you know, in this world. And we need to relate to God, the one who reigns over us properly, don't we? And Daniel shows us this really clearly, and we see it again in this bit of Daniel chapter 6, that God opposes proud people. He's against those arrogant, self-interested people who have no regard for him. But then he's incredibly gracious and generous towards those who humble themselves before him, who trust him in all circumstances and situations, who would put him first and acknowledge that he is God. So by the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, you know, the man Daniel is getting on a bit. He's probably around 80 years old with no prospect of retirement, imagine that. So a lot has happened in Daniel's life to this point. There's been loads of turmoil, loads of change. It's all been pretty non-stop. You know, he's been forcibly removed, taken from his home, back in Israel, back in Judah, and taken to this foreign country of Babylon. He's kind of lived amongst this people that he didn't know. You know, he had to learn the new ways of a culture that he was unfamiliar with. And he's had to serve under a number of different kings, you know, in Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and now we see in Daniel chapter 6 under King Darius. And all of them are proud, irritable, dictator types, so not really the best environment. And in all of that, he's kept trusting God. He's kept trusting God, even when it would have been easier for him to give up, even when everything seemed to be against him. Daniel's life has been really, really hard, but despite all this, he continues to do what God expects. You know, sometimes in life it's really difficult, isn't it, just to keep going. So the other week I was running a 10-kilometre race in Manchester. So, we'll go into that one in a minute. So I've done lots of running before, but that race was a really tough race. So I kind of like running, I enjoy running, but that race was a tough race. It's a tough race for me, and a tough race for others, I know. So, I mean, I started the race okay, you know, I was feeling good, you know, I was thinking, I might get a good time today. But I got a really, really bad stitch. Like, you know, I'm sure you're out there when you get a really bad stitch, but so bad that I had to stop and kind of walk for a few minutes. And by the time I got to the end, that is what I looked like. That's the picture that Rowan took of me when I got to the finish. As you can tell, I'm not massively kind of happy. But I made it to the end, didn't I? It was a struggle, but I made it to the end. I mean, some other people, I think they started walking after like 2 kilometres, I'm not sure if they made it to the end. I think there were some people who probably dropped out, you know, maybe with injuries or, you know, they just couldn't make the distance. But running a race, going the full distance is difficult. You know, and keeping going as a Christian can be just the same. If you're a Christian here today, maybe you ask yourselves questions like these from sort of time to time. I've just got a few questions.
Sorry,
questions on the screen. Ooh, back one. There you go. So that's just a few things. You know, what's the point in carrying on? What's the point in carrying on trusting God? Does it make sense to even, you know, listen to God? Is God, you know, is it even worth, you know, following God? I mean, these are the kind of questions that come into my head, I find, when my life gets tough. You know, maybe when I'm going through a really stressful or a tough time at work, you know, these kind of questions pop into my head. after some sort of sad news, maybe sickness or death in the family of a loved one. You know, maybe as I just continue to battle sin in my own life, you know, those can be some of the questions that come to mind. They're genuine human kind of questions, aren't they? They're a cry for help in a messed up world where life is not as it should be. Well, Daniel's answer to those, you know, questions of ours, you know, is a resounding yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we should carry on trusting God. Yes, it does make sense to keep listening to God. Yes, God is worth following. That's what Daniel says. Daniel could keep going. He could keep just trusting God because he knew that God was in control. And we saw it last week, didn't we? In Daniel chapter 5, you know, those great words that God holds in his hands, you know, God holds in his hands our life and all our ways. It's just a great encouragement, isn't it? God holds his very hands, in his very hands, our life, everything. And what we see in Daniel 6, I guess this week, is that God alone is the one that saves. And because God saves, we can trust him. We can trust God because he saves. So Daniel may have been old, you know, 80 years of age. You know, he's no doubt lost the kind of the energy of his youth. But he continues to do what God expects. We see that in the passage. Throughout the book of Daniel, we've seen that God is with Daniel. Strengthening him, helping him in all he does. Whether it be interpreting dreams earlier on in the book of Daniel, or getting people to look on him just with favour. God has blessed Daniel for continuing to put him first. Even when everything seemed to be against him, and it would have been easier for him to just give up. Well, in chapter 6, we see that God causes this new King Darius to look on Daniel now with favour, just as the previous kings have done. It says there, doesn't it, in verse 4, that God has gifted Daniel with exceptional qualities. So much so that Darius has now planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The whole kingdom of Babylon. It's the ultimate promotion, I guess. He would be, you know, King Darius' right-hand man, in charge of all the affairs of the kingdom of Babylon, which is the world superpower at the time. It's incredible when you think about it, for a man who started life as a slave in the king's palace. Incredible sort of turnaround. But all is not too bright and rosy for Daniel, though, is it? Because the other kings, ministers, administrators, the satraps, politicians, rulers, they don't like it one bit, do they? They're not too keen on Daniel being over them. If you have verses 4 and 5 on the screen, I'll just read those out for us. So at this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those kind of political dramas that you get on TV. I mean, I'm not really kind of into them, but I know how they work. But, you know, like The West Wing, or was the comedy one, like The Thick of It. You know, it's always full of jealousy and backbiting, you know, in those upper echelons of power in the government. It's going on all the time, isn't it? And it's what's happening here in Daniel chapter 6. These satraps, these administrators, they don't want Daniel to be in responsibility over them because they know what he's like. He's not corrupt like them. He's completely reliable and trustworthy. You know, Daniel's everything that a modern politician should be. He can't be swayed, he can't be bribed. He will make, you know, people work hard. You know, he will reduce the influence of these guys, no doubt, and put an end to any of their crooked scheming. No, they don't want Daniel over them, it's simple. Because they can't profit, they can't do well and get on while Daniel is over them. So that's why they're hatching this plan to get rid of him. It's ultimately all about self-interest, isn't it? But it's no kind of secret kind of cover operation. No, they go to the king, they go to King Darius en masse, maybe sort of safety in numbers, hoping it'll give some added weight to kind of what they're proposing. And they quickly succeed, don't they? and manipulating King Darius into passing a law that anyone who prays to anyone other than the king in the next 30 days should be thrown to the lions. So they know that King Darius loves himself. I guess it's an easy bet, really. So they appeal to his ego, don't they? How could a king refuse such a proposal? You know, to be worshipped for 30 days sounds pretty good. His pride, doesn't it? King Darius' pride blinds him to the possible consequences. So the plot unfolds, and as you know, we expect, Daniel's inevitably caught praying to God. You look down at verses 10 to 11, they should come on the screen too. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So Daniel is caught kind of praying. I think it's important to note here, though, that Daniel is not intentionally provoking a response, okay? You know, he's praying publicly, isn't he, in full view from his upstairs window. But he's not like kind of some, you know, modern artist who's kind of wanting a response. I'm not sure if you know this bit of art, Tracy Emin, The Unmade Bed, I think that's what it's called. It's quite a famous bit of art. It's basically just a messy bedroom. I think she just got up one morning, did fancy kind of tidying the room, and said, "There you go. This is a bit of art." Okay, it's basically just her messy bedroom. Now, it's not, well, I don't really do art, but it's not meant to be a nice bit of art, I don't think. She just put it out there. She kind of wants people to go, "Ugh, what's that?" She's provoking a response, isn't she? That's what she's trying to do, and that's what a lot of modern artists are often doing. They're intentionally trying to offend or provoke. But that's not what Daniel's doing here, yeah? Daniel's praying. He's simply doing what he's always done. That's what it says there. He's simply doing what he has always done. He hasn't changed anything. He's continuing to look to God for help in prayer, which is what we've seen all the way through Daniel. He's continuing to put God first. He's not being swayed by men. His decision is not influenced by the possible consequences, because Daniel knew that God was in control and that God alone was able to rescue him. God alone is the one that can rescue. Daniel is caught praying to God, and King Darius is left then, isn't he, with seemingly no choice but to throw Daniel to the lions. In this bit of the story, there's a really clear, you know, strong echo, isn't there, of the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. You know, if you read those in the New Testament, you see the scheming of the rulers and authorities who conspire to condemn an innocent man, you know, in that case, Jesus, to death. You know, of a ruler, King Darius, who's a bit like Pontius Pilate, who didn't want to lose his grip on power, whose allegiance was to the laws of man and keeping the peace rather than to God. You see the death here, don't we? We kind of see, you know, Daniel being thrown into the lion's den and a stone rolled in front, like the grave where Jesus lay. And then also we see, don't we, here, of this incredible resurrection, really, the following day, with Daniel being lifted up from the grave, from the lion's den, like Jesus Christ from the tomb. So this rescue of Daniel here, it points us to the greater rescue of Jesus. It points us to our own, you know, personal salvation from sin and death that's been won by Jesus Christ. See, God alone has the power to save and rescue. So Daniel knew that, and we can know it too. Because Jesus has saved and rescued us. So it means then, doesn't it, for us as Christians, that we can continue to trust God in all the situations of life. You know, when we go through stressful or difficult times in life or at work, you know, when we have that sad news of you know, sickness or death in the family or of a loved one, you know, as we continue to battle with sin in our own lives, we can keep going. We can keep trusting God when life is hard, because we know for certain that God has saved us. Our future is secure. It's definite. It's certain. The hardships of life are only temporary. They will pass away. So we can be faithful as well, can't we? And diligent in our work. So whether that be in the hospital, in the office, in the school, in the home, wherever it may be, we can be diligent in that, because our allegiance is to God, our rescuer, and his promise of salvation is greater. We can continue to honour God in our speech, in our thoughts, and our actions, because we know that God saves. And we can join together with King Darius in those words in verse 26 and 27. If you've got your Bibles open, do look down at that in verses 26 and 27 of Daniel 6. This is what King Darius says. He says, "You know, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel." So we can join with Darius in saying this, that he is a living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of lions. So we can run the Christian race before us with confidence. As the writer in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament reminds us, I should get those words on the screen, I think these are kind of helpful. He says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." We can do that, can't we? And what about, I guess, for those of us who refuse to trust God, who reject God? Well, the message from Daniel 6 is really clear too, isn't it? You will be crushed. Reject God and you will be crushed. Look down at verse 24. Should have those sort of words on the screen as well. See what happens there to the guys that accused Daniel. "At the king's command, the men who falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. Before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones." So Daniel's accuser had come down to death. It's an awful picture, isn't it? You know, the wives and the children being thrown as well, all thrown to the lions. It's a picture of complete, total kind of destruction, isn't it? It's terrible. Well, you know, this is a warning for us, really, isn't it? This is a future awaiting those who reject God. So if that's you, if you think that's you, then the clear message of Jesus is repent. Repent from your self-serving, repent from your pride. Stop serving other gods and serve the only God who is able to rescue you. Did you see sort of verse 14? It's helpful to look down at verse 14. You know, this is King Darius, the ruler of the world's superpower with all his resources, and even he could not save Daniel. That's what it says in verse 14. "When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed." He didn't want Daniel to die. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. So, you know, King Darius was trying, working really hard behind the scenes to rescue Daniel. But he couldn't save him. Only God could save him. King Darius couldn't save him. Only God could save him. So if you think something or someone else can save you, then you're wrong. It ain't going to happen. God alone is the one that can save and rescue you. So humble yourself before the one true God, serve the true God and put him first, because God holds in his hands our life and all our ways. God alone can save us. So we need to continue to put our trust in him. Let's pray. Yes, Lord God, we really want to thank you that you are great, a powerful and a mighty God. That you do hold in your hands our life and all our ways. You are in complete control of everything. I really do pray, Lord God, that you would humble us, that we would not be proud and hard-hearted like King Darius in this passage, or King Nebuchadnezzar in previous passages, Lord God, but that we would humbly trust in you, Lord God. I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to realise, Lord God, that nothing else can save and rescue us. When things are difficult and hard in life, that there's no one else to whom we can turn. We can always turn to you, Lord God. I pray you'd help us to put our trust firmly in you, Lord, and we thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. in saving us from sin and death through his death and resurrection. Pray you help us to remember that daily and to encourage each other in that truth. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we've got a question, so I thought it would be good if we could like split into some small groups, twos or threes, or you know, let you guys kind of decide. And you know, look at that question for a while. So, you know, if God alone is the one who can save us, why do we trust in other things? It's a good question, I think. So, spend a few minutes in sort of twos and threes or fours, just having a bit of a think about that question.